everybody. My name is Gemma Francis, and I'm here to host the Lions Roar podcast. We are here to inspire Christian entrepreneurs and pioneers and help you on your journey. Today, we have some really special guests. We have Gary Spicer, who is the executive director of Imagine the Day, the charity that heads up the Lions. And we also have the Lions leader herself, Shell Peris, who is here to give us her opinions and views on our subject today. So let's start. So guys, today we're talking about core values and culture. Why is it important to have core values in the middle of your organisation?
Well, you see, I'm really passionate about core values and the difference that they make to an organisation and the culture of an organisation. So when I pioneered a ministry a number of years ago, I was really, the first thing I did was I sat down and I looked at, okay, what are going to be our core values? What are going to be those set of principles that are the foundation of who we are as an organisation? And I came up with eight that we had, and I told them to everybody, you know, people who were volunteering, people who I was working with. I put them on contracts, I put them on documents that were sent out, because for me, that was the DNA of who we were. That was that if you want to cut us down the middle and see what's there, this is what we do. And one of the things I love about core values is I feel like they help you to do so many things. They help you to make decisions. They help you to know who to work with, who not to work with, what to say yes to, what to say no to. And if you're ever in doubt about something, you go back to your core values and you say, well, does this marry up? Does this match? And if the answer's yes, move forward. If the answer's no, then maybe it's time to think about, you know, how you step back or say no to that particular thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel that core values are really central to how you operate and move forward as an organisation.
So it's clear that your culture is determined by your core values.
Yeah, definitely. So for example, one of the core values that we had and still have for Alive actually is we do excellence. We think fresh. We value partnerships. And so when we're looking at how we move forward as an organisation, I look at, you know, is this excellent? One of our values is we do excellence. So if it's not excellent, then it's not matching our core values. Mm. You know, if it's an event that we're putting on, or it's a kids camp that we're doing, or it's a festival that we're partnering with, is there a sense of excellence in that that will match our values as a project?
Yeah.
And if it's not, then maybe it's not the right thing.
And do you think, Gary, that values are what you establish right at the beginning before you start the project, or is it something that develop over time?
I think it's best if you establish them in the beginning, but I think values have got to be the anchors to the decisions you take. And so I think, you know, you've got to see values not just as the way we do it, which is really important, but also it anchors us when we come to decisions. And yeah, I think, you know, like when a ship's obviously anchored, you know, the wind may blow, but it still stays still in the storm. I think you need them. I think values are really good for that. So for me, I would say they're vital, and I would say they are the real anchors for the decisions you make on the journey of establishing the vision. Mm. And I think it also helps build culture to the way we do things around here.
Yeah.
You know, culture is quite specific, and I think they help you really kind of like design, create the culture you want them to do. So when you're writing values, you know, it's really important we just don't copy and paste.
Yeah.
Or we just take from other people, unless it's really inside of us. This is why, this is how we're going to do it around here. You know, so again, it's like, you know, we believe in team in ITD. You know, we believe that actually we can do things by ourselves, but we can do things better together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that's really important as a value, you know, that each of us are skillful enough probably to go and do something by ourselves and have done things by ourselves. But when we're together, there's that synergy that can achieve things greater than the amount of one. And I think, you know, that's a really important value to us. You know, we don't work in silo, we work together.
Mm, yeah.
And so values help steer how you do it. And also when you're recruiting, I think it's really important that people don't just buy into the vision, but they buy into the values, because I think there can be more struggle on the way you do things than what you do sometimes. And people have to understand that. So again, values help all those things.
It said that 77% of people would evaluate a company's values before applying for a job. So that really just backs up what you just said there. Values are really important to what you put out, whether it's internally or externally. Yeah. So how do you put out your values externally to your customers, to the people following you? How do you portray those?
Well, I think you're going to use your communication, aren't you, on social media. You're going to use the website idea so people can have a look. And a lot of people today, if they're going to work for somebody, they go and check the website out. And I think even if you've not always got your values printed, which I think you should have, I think people get a taste of how you do things by how it's designed, your language.
Yeah.
I think the language of what you print or what you say is really important.
Yeah.
And I think those are the ways sometimes external. Also, obviously, recommendation, you know, people who've partnered with you before or worked with you or participated in something that you do. You want them to, they're the best advert for anything anyway.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
who give a testimony of good about who you are and your organisation is. It's always said that, you know, personal recommendation is the best advert. So you hope that when people move on or people are still part of you or they're partnering with you for a season, that they actually are speaking good of you and your organisation. So that speaks out the values as well. Because people do want to join something that is not just got great vision and excitement, but knows why and how they do things. And they know that they can fit into the team as much as you believe they could.
Yeah. I put it on, I've mentioned it before as well about contracts. You know, so when I'm putting a contract together for a partnership with an event or, you know, another organisation for an event, I always make sure that our values are put on the bottom of a contract. Because if they can get on board with our values, then the chances are that partnership's going to work really well.
Yeah.
If they read those values and think, I can't get on board with that, then A, it sparks a conversation, and B, it might spark a, maybe we're not the right people to work with them because this is how we operate and this is how we roll.
Mm.
And I think, you know, there are a set of non-negotiables. You know, there are a set of values that you don't steer away from them. So if something comes in that is different from your values, doesn't fit with those values, you can tackle it straight away. You know, I think about one of the case studies that we look at on the Lions program is Starbucks. And we talk about Howard Schultz and, you know, how he started it. And he walked into a Starbucks kind of cafe years later. And instead of smelling coffee, he smelled burnt cheese sandwiches. And obviously Starbucks was, you know, the value of Starbucks is great coffee.
Yeah.
And then when you walk into a store and there's burnt cheese sandwiches, the first thing you smell straight away in him, there was something's wrong here. We've steered away from our values, from our core values. And that created a whole kind of shift in retraining and looking at where they were at and evaluation, purely because he realised that they'd stood away from the core values. And so I think, you know, in all kinds of things, in conflict management, you know, if you've got relationships in your team that kind of aren't working, come back to your core values. Am I in line with them? Am I following them? How is this situation, you know, how are the core values steering this situation? Mm. I just think they're absolutely fundamental to any organisation.
I think one of the tests, I have the joys of leading a Christian organisation in a secular environment, education. So Grace Foundation, I'm the CEO of that. And it was always interesting putting those values together, knowing that we wanted them as Christian values, but how they'd be interpreted in a secular environment. And of course, we use one word called grace. And from a Christian perspective, we should know what that means. You know, second chance, forgiveness, sort of favor of God on us and all the rest of it. But in the world, it was really interesting. And when we went into a secular staff room to teach the staff there, who aren't, most of them were not Christians, grace, it was the biggest question of all the values that they asked us. And their definition was quite strange, really, because some just thought it was a woman's name.
Right. Wow.
And nothing else. And some just had no idea and never even come across the word.
Wow.
And it was really interesting. But what happened was we needed to give a context in a secular situation to the value.
Yeah.
Because just doing the value did not work alone.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, one of the things I know I started off was, I said, well, you know, grace is giving, you know, the children a second chance. Of course, teachers said, well, so well, don't need a second chance. No, need to be punished. But the thing was, we talked about, well, what about a grace pause? Thinking before we react.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking through a filter of like, are we building this child or are we killing them?
Mm.
What are the words we're going to use right now? What effect is it really having on that child and that student in our care, or even staff to staff? And when we started to talk in the context of a grace pause, think before you speak, and put it through a filter of how would you want to be spoken to?
Yeah.
And explain grace a bit more. It was amazing how the penny dropped and the value became alive, not just on a piece of paper in a file cabinet, but alive to them. Mm. And so we do, when we have values, we do have to remember, where are these values going? Who's going to read them?
Yeah.
Who's our customer, not only our staff? And how might they interpret that? And I think, you know, from a Christian perspective, we sometimes put our Christian definition on it, not understanding that actually the marketplace could read this totally different.
Yeah.
Now, we know there's words that work in all contexts, but I'm using that as an example of grace. That was really important to us as a value within Grace Foundation.
Mm.
But we had to build a context for it to be practiced in a secular place.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important what you say, is that values are not there to be written on a piece of paper and put in a cupboard. They're there to be lived out in every sense of the word. You know, so when you're making decisions about, like you say, who to hire, how to spend your money, you know, how to manage a particular situation or circumstance, they're there to be lived out, you know, but also in the way that you carry yourself and hold yourself as well. You know, you want to be living out those values, you know. So one of the alive values is we have fun. You know, so what are we doing in our organisation that enables us to have fun?
Mm.
And if we're not doing that, then we're not living out our values. That's definitely not one that you can put on a piece of paper and store in a cupboard. You know, that's got to be lived out. It'll be different as well. You know, different organisations and different businesses, projects will have different values. And it amazes me every single year on the Lions programme, the number of people that come and have got no core values.
Right.
It amazes me. Absolutely amazes me.
Yeah.
I'm like, how can you do what you do and do what God's called you to do without having that that underpinning to what you're doing?
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they come without that?
Sometimes people are painting a picture with no paint.
Right.
I mean, look, you know what I mean? They're up there with a brush and they've put no paint on it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the values bring the colour out.
Yeah.
They bring the colour of the vision out. And a vision statement and a vision what we're doing, you know, values aren't just anchors, they're colours to what we're doing, how we do it, how we want to paint it. Like, you know, Cheryl just said fun, you know, grace is something that is active. The values need to be active in our everyday. I mean, you know, just going back to that story I told, you know, I was thinking when I realised how much people didn't understand the word grace, you know, I put it into all the interviews as a question. We're called Grace Foundation. We're called Grace Academy. What would you say that word grace means?
Right.
So many interesting answers.
Yeah.
And I've got to say probably 80% of people had no idea.
Wow.
And, you know, that educated me. And then we made sure that it was in staff induction as well, obviously. And when we did parents' evenings, we talked about it so that people could understand perhaps one of our main words that we thought was priority. We had to educate people in it.
Yeah.
So, and people never argued. They loved it. They just never come across it. I mean, it put a responsibility on them.
Yeah.
But it was just really important. Yeah. So I think, you know, as I said, if we're painting a vision, you know, for the future, then if there's no values, there's no colour.
Yeah.
I think as well that when something happens in the organisation that cuts that culture, that cuts across those core values, stands out like a sore thumb.
Right.
It stands out so clearly, you know, these are our values. This is how we roll. This is how we operate. This is how we do what we do. You know, sometimes people know why we do what we do, but don't always know how we do what we do. And core values helps that. And when something comes against that, it straight away causes this, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Hang on a minute, that's not right. And usually you know it's not right because it cuts against your core values.
So how about Christian organisations? How do you establish core values that remain Christian in a secular world?
So again, another one of the alive values is we live with integrity. And I think integrity is, well, for alive, but for any Christian organisation, for me, is absolutely fundamental. You know, you've got to live or try to live integral lives, you know, which means doing the right thing and making the right choices and doing things God's way instead of our own way. And so I think you can use kind of words like that that are key values of the Christian faith. But like Gary's already said, you have to be able to explain them and contextualize them in lots of different settings and people's ways of doing things.
Mm. I think it's important that, depending on what organization, I'll say you're a Christian organization in a secular world, you've got to really do values that people understand and put even like a strap line or something next to it so that people can understand the context. It's all about having values which we go, yeah, that's great, but what is the context that's going to be practiced in? How is that going to be practiced, whether it's with staff or our customers? You know, we've got to be able to land this.
Yeah.
And I think if we can't land each of the values, they do remain a piece of paper in a filing cabinet.
Yeah.
And you can say, oh, yeah, we've got our core values. I'm not really interested in organisations got their core values. I want to know how are they practiced.
Yeah.
If I was to ask one of their staff or the customers, what would they say that would involve, you know, the values being outworked by our service, our relationships, etc. So definitely Christian values can be outworked in the secular. But like I said earlier, like with the word grace, they're going to need to be explained a little bit more. And we need to make sure that our wording is appropriate to the context in which we're either ministering, reaching, selling, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's a problem with church, isn't it? Often, we're using language that is not appropriate to the people who are not yet Christians.
Yeah.
We're speaking to the Christian, the gospel. Well, a lot of Christians might need the gospel still, that's another story. But actually, the truth is, are we using language that relates to people? Mm. So, for example, you know, years ago, you know, and still today, I believe in sin. We talk about sin and we talk about the redemption. But the issue for me is a word that the world understands today is selfishness.
Yeah.
So you might start talking about, you know, selfishness rather than sin, because sin and selfishness are synonymous.
Mm.
I mean, sin comes out of selfishness, or, you know, or vice versa. And so, you know, it's not that I'm trying to dilute the word, but I think sometimes we need to speak a word that people understand and relate to either, you know, in this case, convict them, or in another way to make them think differently.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, everything I do, you know, I want people to think higher of themselves. I want them to think higher of God, and I want them to think higher of people themselves. You know, we've been born to be a blessing, not just be blessed.
Mm.
And I think, you know, I say often, you know, whatever we have, I've got to be a steward of that. And so here comes a value. If I'm a steward, I have a responsibility of what I keep to bless myself, what I give back to God, and what I give to others.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's a value of mine. You know, it's like, Lord, you've given me so much. I'm not an owner. I'm a steward. Now help me steward right. Mm. And that's a personal value. And I think that we've got to kind of like bring that into the context where we are.
Yeah.
I think that really shows as well how important it is to not only have organisational core values, but to have personal core values as well. You know, what kind of person do I want to be in whatever context I'm in, whether that's at work, whether that's at home, whether that's on a platform, whether that's, you know, wherever, what kind of person do I want to be? What are my core values that I'm living by as well?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you need to be able to have an anchor. You know, God is our anchor, isn't he? You know, God is our anchor. But when you start to go off track maybe a little bit, which we all do at times, it's having that pull back to, actually, that's not the kind of person I want to be. That doesn't fit with my personal core values.
Mm.
So, you know, I think both are really important.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And also, as you said, Gary, it's great to keep communicating to your team and your staff about those core values. Do you think core values develop and change over time, or are they just set?
I think, you know, I think you can add to, you can take away a little bit, they can be modified, but I think you don't want to take the essence of what you've put down right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Too many organisations can drift away from their values, we can individually, and that, I think, is dangerous. You know, we sometimes have to go back to that point when Well, if it was God, we felt God asked us to do something, and now we're still doing it with all our might and all our way. I think language changes and our context changes. I think one of the keys is to keep telling the stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's to our staff or our customers or on our website, we use a lot in the lions of telling stories.
Yeah.
And it's like that brings out the values as well.
Yeah.
So they're like the advert to the value.
Yeah.
Being outworked. So I'm not sure they have to change, sometimes modified, but I think if you throw them all out the window or throw one a year out the window, that would concern me really, because we were birthed in this vision to do something for the Lord, whether it be business, commerce, church, ministry. And we were also birthed a way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's why it's so important that you have to take the time to come up with the core values and really pray and seek God on it. Whether the project that you're leading is Christian or not Christian, it doesn't matter. You know, kind of get on your knees before God and say, God, what do you want this to look like? What are the core values that you're laying at the foundations of this project? I don't think it's something that you can just all of a sudden, you know, kind of think of really quickly and it's a light bulb thing and that's it. You have to take your time over it, because if these are the values that your organization is going to operate on and under for the next, you know, 20, 30 years, you've got to take the time to get them
right.
And, you know, like we've said, you can tweak them slightly, but it's got your core values are their core, you know, they're like the inner working. And it's almost like if you change those entirely, you change the whole nature of what you're doing and what you're about.
Yeah.
So definitely take the time to really pray and ask God, this is what I'm thinking, God. Are these in line with what you want? You know, are there any that need to change? How do I communicate these? And, you know, I'd also encourage people to not just have the core value, but have like a paragraph, a few sentences that explains, you know, have a core values document that explains this is what this core value looks like in action. This is what, you know, this is what we're kind of aiming for and looking towards. Because again, the more you can communicate what a value looks like in principle to your staff, to your customers, the more it will come to life.
Yeah, and I guess that's...
The thing is, don't have too many.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if you have too many values, it just becomes a document that no one reads, one explains. So, you know, that whole thing, KISS, you know, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we need to keep things simple and, you know, writing something of definition in line with the context that it's reaching out to. So, for example, you know, a Christian organisation to Christians can put scripture down to back up the value. Mm-hmm. But if you're a Christian organisation to a secular, you might not put scripture down.
Yeah.
But you may put a scriptural expression, or, you know, or explanation, should I say. So, you know, you haven't always got to quote scripture. You can put words down that mean a stronger scripture. You just don't put it down. Because you want to turn people on, not off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the secular I'm on about, and they think, oh, these are great values.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, you know, when you're doing values, it really is, as I just said, about storytelling, about keeping it alive, so it just doesn't become another document in the drawer. And most organisations, unfortunately, do that.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly onto the organisations, you know, that I lead. Like, as Shell said, it's the way we do it. You know, around here, it's our behaviours, it's those things which are really important to us, because vision can erode if you haven't got great values being lived out.
Yeah.
We've actually just done some work with a Christian organisation, helping them to think about their core values and what they do. And it was really interesting, wasn't it? Really interesting. This organisation's been going for quite a long time. And not really had, they've known what it is that they're doing. They've known what it is that they want to do. And they've established a way of how to do it. But there's nothing written down almost on paper to say this is, you know, not in a way that's memorable and snappy and is going to kind of grab people. Because that's what you want with your core values and your mission statement. You want them to grab people and to be, you know, to, like Gary said, not be too long, but to be quite snappy. And so we sat in a room, didn't we, in London with, you know, some other people from the organisation and really honed in on, okay, what is it you do? Why do you do it? What does it look like? And we spent ages and ages kind of thinking up of different ways of saying it. And then in the end, it probably took us a morning, didn't it? We'd come up with six words that created three really short sentences that said exactly what it was that they did.
Yeah.
And everybody went, oh, yeah.
That's it. That's what we do. The issue is, if I'm a stranger walking into this organisation, they would have assumed I just knew.
Yeah.
As a statement, assumption's the lowest form of communication. And I think we've got to remember, when we are doing something, people don't know the values and why and how. Mm. So we do have to say that. And in this particular organisation, I mean, it was a light bulb moment for them. Wow, it really was. And really? This was probably after 20 years of running an organisation.
Oh, my gosh.
But everyone had to kind of understand the assumption. And obviously a lot wouldn't have known.
No.
And then you're losing the mission. You're losing actually the vision because people don't understand what you're there to do.
Yeah.
Or how you to do it. So, yeah, I mean, that was one organisation that we helped and hopefully it's helped them establish to their in their context and to their, you know, customers or participants why they are and who they are.
Yeah, because all of that really helps you to establish a brand. So if you haven't got core values, how do you establish your brand?
Yeah.
How do you put that message across of course, who you are?
That very word, Gemma, you know, sends shudders through Christian's brand, but doesn't through businesses.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole thing is we've got to, again, use the words, you know, wisely. They're not wrong.
Mm.
It's just, again, when we're talking, say, Christian ministry, brand might be like, whoa.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, knowing who we are, our identity, which is a brand.
Yeah, of course.
But you use the word identity. Christians understand that better than brand.
Yeah.
So it's just learning.
Yeah.
And it is, I think, you know, going back to that situation where we were helping this other organisation, it was that eureka moment when everybody in the room just went, yes.
That's it.
That is it. And I think that's when you know that your core
values...
I think you
actually shouted eureka, didn't you?
Quite impossible. But that's when you know, people say, well, how do I know that I've got the right core values? How do I know I've got the right mission statement? How do I know I've got the right strap line? And you just know.
Yeah.
It's there and it encapsulates everything that your organisation is about. And you go, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, we did some work, didn't we, last year on the Lions strap line. So we'd had one particular strap line for 10 years and kind of came in and went, what does that mean? And we did a whole piece of work on looking at that. And then we changed it to release impossibility.
Yeah.
And it was that sense where we all kind of felt, yes, that explains what it is that we're doing as the Lions.
Well, guys, thank you. That's a great thought to finish with. And we're just going to leave it there because we've run out of time already. But what a great session today. We've been talking about the culture and the core values of your organisation and how it really needs to drive you in your business. Thank you so much for coming today, listening to us, however you're listening. We'll see you again soon.